Welcome back to the Big Move Podcast. I'm your host, Em. I'm a content creator, podcast producer, and a mother. And as I thought about a new season of the podcast, I went back to my roots and what made me start this show to begin with. At its core, it's this idea of connection, relatability, and motivating each other through the impactful conversations we're having as women. I'll be talking to the same powerhouse caliber of female guests that I know are going to light you up, but we're getting real on how they've redefined themselves in entirely new seasons and phases of life. We're honing in on what fuels us, what brings us back to ourselves, and ultimately, what keeps us moving. So with that, let's get into new episodes. This episode is already holding such a special place in my heart. This was a live podcast recording, which took place recently in partnership with one of my favorite fashion brands, Cami NYC, at their beautiful Upper East Side boutique. We brought in the most perfect guest for the occasion, and that's the force that is Lindsay Lane. She's an entrepreneur, former stylist, and now mega fashion influencer. We sat down with a live audience of friends and women that I've known from my New York past life, Lindsay's online community coming in real life, and fans of Cami. This felt like such a full circle moment for both Lindsay and I. We actually met at the beginning of our content journeys a decade ago and have now come back together in a city we both have deep roots in to have this chat. Seeing Lindsay in a settled new iteration of life and motherhood is powerful, and we cover a ton in this episode. From career pivots, going from stylist to fashion creator, the identity challenge that is going from city girl to suburban mom, being strong and holding healthy boundaries, advice on building your personal brand, and the realities of balancing life and work in motherhood. We close it out with a Q&A with our audience at the end that I thought just really brought it home and had everyone in the room leaving feeling inspired. Anywho, that's enough from me. Let's get into the episode. Hi, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Big Move Podcast. We're live at Cami NYC. We have my fantastic guest next to me, the amazing Lindsay Lane. We're going to do proper introductions in just a few minutes, but I wanted to start by welcoming everyone into the room. I feel like we have such an amazing group here tonight. I'm so excited. This is typically the part of my night where I am home with the two kids alone. It's the witching hour. And I am like psychotically texting my husband to get home from work. So needless to say, this is a treat to be here with all of you. We have such a great room, familiar faces, women that I've known from my past New York life, Lindsay's community coming in the flesh to see her, and Cami's amazing community too. So thank you guys so much for coming. I wanted to give a quick thank you to Summer and her team for putting on what's already feeling like such a special night. Cami is a brand that I've known, worn, and loved for years. Their pieces are amazing. We are wearing their holiday collection tonight. We'll talk outfits a little later, and you guys will be able to actually like touch and feel and shop the holiday collection in just a little bit. Quick flow of the night, just so you guys know, we're gonna do our conversation with Lindsay. We have a lot to fit in quite a tight time frame. We're gonna open it up to a Q&A at the end. Part of why I love these live podcasts so much is that you guys get to be a part of the conversation and interact with us and ask questions. So hang on to those at the end. And we're gonna jump in. That's enough of my ramble.
It was so good though. That was like very good. Very good from the spot.
Lindsay, hi, welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, and thank you to everyone who came out tonight. Everyone is swamped, busy, tired after their long days. So me and Emmer, we're so grateful that you could be here tonight with us.
Yes, yes. I feel like leading up to this event, Lindsay, I was saying to you, like, this is feeling like such a full circle moment. I know from my side and I know from your side too, for similar but different reasons. But I started my content journey a decade ago. I feel very old saying that. And you are someone that I met very early on and got to know in New York. I took a little detour over to London, but I'm back, and I just feel like it's so cool to be sat in this seat with you. And I know you're in a very different iteration and season of motherhood and work and life and everything. So I feel like it's a full circle for us.
It is crazy. And I worked for Cami also. And 10 years ago, I worked for Cami in a lookbook that is so embarrassing. I'll show you all after if you want to look. But I was looking through them today. Wow. It feels like yesterday. Yeah. So it's very cool.
Actually, I didn't know that.
Yes, I'll show you the pictures. They're mortifying.
I was saying to Ava that I think you actually introduced me to Cami, like back when you started your blog. Yeah, yeah.
Influencing the influencer.
Yes. Yes, exactly. But so Lindsay, I know so many people in this room already know and love and follow you, but can you give us just like a quick little intro on who you are and what you're all about?
Sure. So my name is Lindsay Lane Watts. Lane is my maiden name. Watts is my married name. I have been in the fashion industry for 20 plus years. I started my career as a personal shopper and a stylist. I was the youngest personal shopper in Barney's New York history when I was 23, and I still hold that title, and I love Barney's, and I miss it every single day. They gave me the opportunity of a complete lifetime, and I will never stop loving them for it. And then I went on to be Ford's first by-appointment stylist when they were launching an artist division that they have since obviously built out a lot, and they were my agents for 3.5 years. Simultaneously, I launched a styling business, and then this thing blogging was going on, and I kind of just naturally transitioned to it when I pivoted out of Ford being my agents, and I started doing this full time. So I have also been doing this for 11 years full time. So we've seen the industry evolve and change so much. Like, we'll get to Instagram. I'm sure we'll get to all of that, but every day Instagram changes, and we've seen like just from the moment it even became Instagram, you know, evolve. So it's been interesting to be in this world for so many years.
Yeah. I have a bunch of questions about your styling career in specific, because I feel like not everybody knows that about you. Mm-hmm. It's a little, it's very unique to you. I know that. Yeah. But I like to get the lay of the land and always ask my guests this first question of like,
I'm nervous.
What's your big move? What is like one pivotal turning point in your journey that's feeling very fresh, that's like setting the stage for you right now?
I would say I just had my baby girl, Savvy, a little over a year ago. I fought so hard to have her, had the hardest journey ever. IVF, miscarriages, ectopic pregnancies, we can probably get into this. Every woman has a journey on how they have their children. So I had a really hard time having her. She's now 14 months. She's here. She's healthy. She's perfect. Poo-poo-poo, and we just moved into the home that I was building for 3 years. So I was feeling very unsettled in my life for a long time, and now, you know, the big move, so to speak, actually being in this home and settling down with my family and just everything I've ever wanted.
Yeah. You know? I love seeing you in this new season, but we've talked about this. Like, I know the journey was long and you've had so many twists and turns and challenges along the way. We're going to get into all of that. But I want to back up a little bit. I want to set the stage with your career as a stylist. And you mentioned it a little bit. Talk to us about being the youngest personal shopper at Barney's. I feel like that's such a feat, but just kind of take us back to that time. Like, how old were you? What did that feel like?
It's a very crazy story how I became the youngest personal shopper there. Basically, the long short, because we will be here for a very long time, and I do want to write a book one day that's like on my bucket list down the road, like hope it can happen. So hopefully one day I'll be able to tell my story properly. But I was 21 when I got my first opportunity there, and I was holiday help. And I was like, you know what, I'll take the holiday job, I'll get my foot in the door. And then when holiday was done, they actually offered me a job that I didn't love, I didn't want it, and I just kind of took the risk and left. And I was like, listen, this is what I want, and if you know, want me for it, call me, here's my number. And then I got an opportunity with a personal shopper to be another assistant. When I was that personal shopper's assistant, I started realizing that most of the women who were coming in to shop with my boss preferred to shop with me. Someone who was young, vibrant, knew what the trends were. You know, most of the shoppers at the time were in their 50s, 60s, which was fine. They were very stylish women, but people preferred a younger eye. And I pitched an idea without an NDA, without anything, to my boss at the time, my manager. And I said, if an opportunity arises, please keep this in your back pocket for me. And lo and behold, months later, I had a big falling out with my boss. I was going to leave. Barney's called me and they're like, you have your own office. And I became a personal shopper that way. So my story, it's very lengthy. That was like probably the best I've ever done telling it, but it's really wild and it is quite inspiring. I've just always been a go-getter. I think in any field of work as a woman, like if you want what you want, like don't be afraid to ask for it. If you don't ask, you don't get. And I've always lived by that motto, especially with my career.
Yeah. Because we've talked about the New York City hustle, which you obviously have, but you mentioned, like, I feel like that's been ingrained in you from a very young age is what I'm guessing, but you tell me.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a natural born hustler. Mm-hmm. I've just been taught to work. Like, my father was a businessman. My mom worked for most of her life. Like, I've just been, that's just been instilled in me. But it's important for, like, women to have their own passions and things that they love. And, you know, if it's not a full-time job, it's still good to have separate passions, you know, and just things that fill your cup other than just family or, you know, husband, being a wife, this, that. You know, it's important to have your own individual things.
So you have this very much thriving personal shopping career. You're in New York City. You're living your best life. How do you go from personal shopper, stylist extraordinaire, to content creator? Like, is there like a light bulb moment? Is this like a longer road in time? What is that kind of like looking like?
What's interesting is, even though I've been in this industry for 11 years, like, blogging came about many years before that. I'm actually like not an early, like, we're not like early adopters. I would say we were like the second round mm-hmm. of like the OG New York girls that came to fruition in the space. But it was just a different time. Like, when I was clocking in and out of Barney's every day, this thing blogging started happening. And I'll never forget, my brother said, there's a thing called Instagram. My brother's 4 years younger than me. He said, you should put your, people are putting their outfits online in a square and people like your photo. And I looked at him in the car and I said, that's crazy. I'm never going to do that. Why do people care what I wear? He's like, because you're a stylist, you're a personal shopper. And now I look back at that story and I'm like, this is literally my entire livelihood. This is like the love, like a love of my life. This is what I do. Without this and the community that comes with that, mm-hmm. like, what would I do at this point? You know? So it was just, it was a funny conversation that always lives rent free in my head.
Yeah.
So when I was clocking in and out every day, it was late, you know, mm-hmm. but then it was a natural transition. When I was styling at Ford, I left and then I just eased right into it. Okay. I was going on a lot of casting calls for commercials and TV shows. I had filmed a pilot that I got casted for, and Ford was like, we just signed you and you're like booking TV opportunities, you know? So when I was on video, my personality shines and I just love people. I love making connections. I love networking. And it just like transitions, you know, I was always behind the camera and now I had the opportunity to be in front of the camera.
So when did you officially leave Barney's and you were like, that's it, I'm hanging my hat up, like, I'm going to be this full-time influencer? And also, by the way, there was so much unknown during that time of what this was going to be and look like. It was 10 years ago.
100%. So when I left Barney's, I was actually laid off with 92 other people in the company. And then when I left, I was, you know, scared. I'm like, I'm young. I'm like 25. I don't know what I'm going to do next. And then how I got signed with Ford is another crazy story. But it just, these things started happening where the universe was constantly telling me that I was in the right place at the right time. And I was meant to do certain things. And you have to believe that the universe has your back. I know it sounds so cliche and so like cheesy, honestly, but if you really believe in yourself, like, I feel with like every bone in my body, like without fashion, I don't know who I am. Mm-hmm. Even like being a mother, you know, and we'll talk about that too. Struggling being like fashionista now, mom, because, you know, but I just knew, I knew what I was worth. And I knew if people wanted me and they wanted me to work with them or for them, that they would come around. And that was always like my mindset. Mm-hmm. So I was tough. Like, I never let people walk all over me. I let people decide if they wanted me, and especially at Barney's. And then they came knocking down my door.
Yeah.
So
that's incredible. So I want to shift gears a little bit. So New York City is so ingrained in you. It's such a backdrop, I feel like, for you and your journey.
Yeah.
Take us back to your departure. I remember like sitting in London following you during this time too. So I like see it vividly in my mind from when I followed you, but I want to hear from you. I feel like that was such a huge turning point and like a lot of emotion. Take us back to what that was like and when.
Yeah. So like so many people during COVID, I picked up with my family. I had my son at the time who was a little baby. And we moved back to Long Island with my parents and we were there for like 7 months living with my parents and then moved to Florida for a little bit. But like moving out of the city, I packed a little sleepover bag. I thought I was going to be back in 2 days, like so many of us. And then my assistant, like I'll just never forget, my assistant at the time was like packing a t-shirt and one pair of sweatpants. I'm like, I think it's going to be longer than this. You know, she's like, no, it'll be a weekend. And then it turned into just a, you know, a whole mess, a many year thing. And so when I left, actually, it's almost like you are this person when you're living anywhere where that is so ingrained in you, like you said, and you become this place. It's like the energy of the city, hitting pavement every day, dressing up, being in fashion, like rolling a suitcase filled with 10 bags of clothes, like crazy stuff we used to do, you know, to get like the shot. Just, I was a fashionista, like this. And then it was taken away. You know, you're just like that time in my life was like taken away from me, like so many of us. And I just never looked back. I never lived in the city again. So it's sad, but it happened in that way. At some point, could we have moved back? Yes. But my life's journey did not take me back here. Mm-hmm. You know, we, like I said, we closed on land. We started building a home. I lived in Florida for some time over COVID. And then luckily the person who was renting our apartment, she ended up buying the apartment. So it was just, we got lucky and then we just never came back. And Talon really, we liked the space, you know, being a parent. It's nice to have that space for the kids. Mm-hmm.
And I know during that time you were feeling a little nomadic. You moved many, many times just into different houses and you were building your house eventually, which we'll get into that at some point. But you mentioned that your family was concerned about you. They're like, what's going on? Like they could see that you were going through so much. Mm-hmm. So what did that look like? And also, what did you reach for support in when you were in that?
Oh my God, the hardest time. I mean, anyone in this room who's gone from New York City, if you live in a suburb and you just become this like suburban mom when you were once this city person and you're a mom now, I lost so much of myself. And how am I supposed to do my job every day when my job is to show up, you know, look good, talk to the camera? Like, I don't even know what to put on anymore. Like, I'm not that person. And I was struggling between that juggle. Like, I am this person, but I can't even wear it. Like, where am I going? I'm going to the supermarket. I'm not putting this on. You know, nothing was making sense. And I became just like really depressed. I was in like a weird rut. I'm a very happy person, positive, light, like warm person. And I just felt so unlike myself in my body. And my parents were concerned, like, do you want to go back to the city? Like, what do you want? My husband, Aaron, was like very concerned about me. Like, I would cry all the time. I just did not feel like myself. And I think when, you know, we become mothers, that's just sometimes a natural trait and feeling that we get. You know, we go through so much and we love our children, but we also sacrifice a lot to build a family. I was just riding out all the emotions of a lot of change that was happening at once and still not living in a home I called my own. So I was just trying to tackle everything. And then eventually just great friends. You know, I grew up in Long Island and most of my friends are back there. And I would say, is this normal? And they're like, oh yes, it's normal. Like, you're in the right place. This is so normal. Like, cry it out, girl. Like, let's go for drinks. You got this. Like, I wasn't alone. And I think that made it easier, but every day still, it's still inside of me. Every day I feel that way though. Not depressed. I just feel like a different, you know, I'm like this person and I'm not that person there.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned feeling unmotivated and just kind of uninspired, I think, especially at the beginning. But with this job, you can shoot content from anywhere. You can pop up in your bathroom and put in a tripod. So it can feel like this like double-edged sword. You're like, why am I feeling uninspired? I can do this from anywhere. So what did that look like for you? Or how did you sort of like navigate that from your business perspective?
Well, now being settled in like the house I call my home, we finally moved in February. Like, it's been much easier because it's like a space that represents who I am. It's my eye for design and style. And there's a lot more places and lots of light, you know? And now Instagram favors just like live your life and film. And like, that's content. So for me, that's been a game changer. I'm sure it has been for you too. I'm just, you know, busy moms, but it doesn't matter. Like, you could be in any space for as long as you can and it's beautiful, but you can still get tired and sick of looking at something and feeling uninspired. And I do have moments of like major, just like creative blocks or just not feeling like I want to come to camera, or, you know, I'm just having a day where I don't stop driving because I'm a suburban mom. And so when I'm driving, how am I supposed to record myself and like film videos and like actually do my work? My job is on my cell phone. So like if I'm driving for days, I can't do that for days. Like, for days, we drive forever. So there's you can't do it. So some days my personal life does not vibe with my work life. And I've learned to be like, it's okay. Like, it has to be okay. And the followers and my community is so incredible. And the people that have been here from day one, like my ride or dies, like OGs, they're going to stay.
Yes.
Like, people have evolved with me and they've grown with you. And, you know, and the people that fall out, goodbye. Like, it's a privilege to follow me. And if you don't want to be part of this community, that's on you. Like, it has nothing to do with me. So you just have to, like, get into that mindset of, like, when you've hit this level of, like, badassery where you just really don't give a shit and you're just, like, living your life and able to do your job.
100%.
You know?
So much change is colliding at the same time. It's like, you've left the city, you're a suburban mom. There's so much that happens with our identity in motherhood, all of these shifts and changes and evolvements. How do you come back to you? How do you come back to, like, Lindsay Lane, like, at your core? It can be something big, it can be something tiny, like literally getting your nails done. Yeah. What are the things that you do?
Yeah, so recently I've just been, like, definitely on my path to wellness, like an all-around wellness journey. I had a C-section, a double C-section that didn't heal properly, just like my first. So I had, like, keloids. I couldn't move my stomach. I was so tight. I had lower back pain because of it. So then I started acupuncture. I started doing, recently I did lymphatic drainage, and I'm obsessed with just, like, making myself feel like the best version of myself, even though there's chaos around me sometimes. So I'm really, like, and starting to work out again after putting, you know, having my body go through everything it did. So, like, little steps on this, like, wellness journey is it, like, I love it now. Like, maybe I'm a wellness influencer incoming. I'm not sure, but I just love the idea of, like, making women feel like the best version of themselves, doing, like, little small things that help.
Yeah. I think the small things add up to the big picture. I'm, like, such a firm believer in that. One thing I wanted to talk with you about was definitely mental load and mom guilt. And it's, like, nights like this where you're coming in the city for you, for work, or you're going on a trip with Aaron. And I know you guys do a phenomenal job of, like, having that alone time too. I love that. That's very important to you.
Yeah.
But how do you battle the other side of it? The mom guilt, the voice inside your head that's creeping in. Do you have a mantra? Or is there anything that helps you get through that?
Yeah. So when we discussed this a little bit, I was saying, like, usually the mom guilt comes from just not being present, right? Like, you want to go on a date night or you are on a vacation. But actually, when I was thinking about it, I had a bad sinus infection for like 2 weeks ago. And I was like, I think the mom guilt actually stems more from being present and not being able to show up. Like, when I was sick, because, like, you know, going on a date night with my husband and traveling alone, like, you just have to learn to compartmentalize that, because your marriage is so important too. That's an entirely different relationship that you have to nurture so much, just as much as your children. So when I was like, oh, I'm sick, but I can't function, but I'm, like, right next door and my kids need me and they're like, where's mommy, you know, and you can't be there, like, that for me was hard. I'm like, I'm gonna tell Emily that this is new mom guilt, because, like, when you're close by and present but you can't perform as a mother, that was really hard. That I felt guilt over that. I'm like, yeah. I hate being sick. Oh, I feel horrible. I don't want to hug Savvy. I don't want to hug Tylen. I feel, like, bad, you know.
That's so fair.
Yeah.
So shifting gears a little bit into content creation, and you've cultivated such an amazing online community. I want to talk also personal brand. You've done a phenomenal job of creating a great personal brand, and I feel like that translates into creating any brand or business. So if there's anyone in the room that's looking to build their personal brand or any kind of brand or business that they're working on, what's your one piece of advice that you would throw out into the ether for them?
I would say I mean, it's so cliche, but, like, don't wait. You can't wait, because while you're waiting or, you know, looking for perfection, I am a Virgo to a T. I am a perfectionist. It's literally debilitating sometimes. I talk to Ava, my assistant. I'm like, it's horrible. I'm trying. Like, even my feed has rebranded a little bit. I'm just trying to, like, live more in the moment and not be such a perfectionist. While you're thinking of doing something, other people are doing it, right? Other people are coming into the space. And while there is enough room for everyone, you have to just put yourself out there and do it. And you also need to be vulnerable and authentic. Don't be afraid to show who you are. Don't be afraid to come to camera and talk. A lot of people it's interesting. Like, I've seen some people I followed for years and they have beautiful photos. They don't really come to camera often and they still grow. You know, people just follow them for their photos. Mm-hmm. I've always been a storyteller and a community driven connector. Like, I just love people. So when Stories launched many years ago, that really benefited my brand because I was able to connect with people on a whole other level mm-hmm. other than just like being a pretty photo. Mm-hmm. Everyone, you know, because if you have this personality that you want to shine, do not be afraid to speak up. Like, use your voice, your authenticity, and just go for it.
Yeah, I love that. And the landscape has changed so much since we started, where it was curating that beautiful travel photo and the grand landscape and then face tuning the shit out of it or, you know, whatever we're doing yeah. in the post editing. But now it's like, just rock up and film yourself or start True. Talking, put yourself out there. It's not easy, but it doesn't need to be curated. And I love that change. I think
Instagram's
it's more authentic.
A lot yeah. with that change. So
totally.
Just go for it. Like, don't look back. Just film yourself. And yeah. the more cringe you are, it looks better to others. It's so cringe. Like, I can't even look. I'm like, this is so cringe. I can't. Like, even the video I posted before coming here, I'm like, oh my God, I can't. I cannot do it. Like, I did it in 2 seconds. I had no time. I was rushing. But Ava was like, you're posting it. Like, we're doing it. You're not a perfectionist anymore. Yeah. We are doing this. And I did it. So, you know, it's just like, you have to let go mm-hmm. of this. It's freeing. It's very freeing. I actually cried on Instagram because I was like, when you're in this mindset of perfectionism, living in this space that we call Instagram, it is really hard to be a perfectionist and in the space. It really is. Like, I would drive myself crazy about such crazy, stupid things that I every day I try very hard to not be, you know, just go, just the new me is mm-hmm. posting. And that's what I say to myself. And so just go for
yeah.
it.
Yeah. And I feel like you have good boundaries and guardrails around mm-hmm. content creation kind of creeping into your family and your day-to-day life. So what do you do that helps you? Or like, what point have you gotten to that you think is like working really well for you right now?
Yeah. So a lot of, you know, girls that have been following me, they've been with me since before I met Aaron. So this is right when I started about 11 years ago. So many people have just been here from the beginning, which means they've also evolved with me and now they're mothers and they have children. It's like we've grown up together, which is so cool. That's the really cool thing about Instagram and social media, you know, and I love my community. Like, I have the most incredible women, supportive, loving. I do not get hate any day. And I think that's because your vibe attracts your tribe. If someone is to disrespect me, they get unfollowed. Like, you mm-hmm. must have boundaries for yourself. If anyone makes you feel anything less than good or positive, who slides into your DMs, like, goodbye. It doesn't matter if you get one less follower or your mm-hmm. follower count goes down. No one cares. Protect your peace. Don't let that energy come in.
Yeah.
So in regards to my children, I've never really posted Aaron. If anyone in this room has followed me for a long time, I never really posted him. He would pop in, obviously, during our wedding, and he randomly pops in now. But I built a brand off who I am, not anybody else. And then when I had children, I didn't love having a phone in my kids' face all the time. So when people choose to do that, I like watching it, you know, like whoever wants to do that, that's their prerogative. But I was always like, I don't want to have my kids all over my social media. And I never built a brand off other people but myself. So the people who are continuing to follow me are here for me. Do they want to see Savvy and Talon? Of course. But they respect my boundaries and they're not like there for them. They're there for me because I've always been doing this for me.
I want to talk a little bit on that note around the like mental jiu-jitsu that's happening too in this business and online and having to put ourselves out there. How are you taking care of your mental health on a day-to-day with so many balls in the air and so much going on?
Yeah, it's very hard. It really is. I mean, I'd be lying if I was like, oh my God, motherhood is so easy. Wifing is so easy. Parenting is so easy. You know, having a job on social media or just being a working mom in general, anything. It's hard being a woman. It's amazing, but it's hard. We go through a lot. And like I said, I'd be lying if I was like, oh, it's a walk in the park. I just think it's healthy boundaries. And like, honestly, I talk to myself a lot. Like if anyone's next to me in the car or like I talk to myself, I'm like, you need a break, girl. Like step back. And like it's mm-hmm. it's boundaries online. Yeah, but it's also boundaries with yourself. It's mm-hmm. boundaries within your home. It's boundaries with your kids. Like I'm a very like not strict, but I really am a boundary person. Mm-hmm. Like, I like creating that calmness around me. If I need to take a break or I want to get into my bed early, my husband will be like, hey, what's going on? You're just chilling in bed, you know? I'm like, yeah, you can do bedtime tonight. Cool. You know, like, I'm just like, whatever. And we just go with it. Like, we're just in the flow. You have to be mm-hmm. very plugged in and self-aware, like very plugged into yourself to need to make those boundaries. But I will tell you, the first time that you say no to something, like, you will feel so good. Like, it's so liberating. Just be like, no, I don't want to go to that dinner. Or no, you know, like, babe, can you put the kids to bed tonight? Like, I'm tired. Like, that doesn't make you weak. It only makes you stronger. So having those boundaries makes you an incredible person. It makes you an incredible mother. It makes you an incredible wife. You know, you don't want to be a yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't want to be a yes person.
Yeah.
Like, you need to create that little boundary in front of yourself.
Yeah, and I think as working moms, it just becomes so much more important to say no.
It is.
Say no
and, like,
a lot.
Sometimes our, like, suburban lives don't match up with Instagram. That's what I was saying before. If I'm driving for 3 days straight, I can't film, you know? And you mm-hmm. have to be okay with that mm-hmm. if you're in our space and you're a mom. Because we can't always content create. Some people can, but I don't want to be on my phone all the time anymore, to be honest. And I built a brand where I'm able to say that now, you know, but I could understand the pressures of just starting out, needing to feel like you have to be on all the time.
I love that. So one huge premise of my show and this show and these conversations is motivation and how are we staying lit up and how are we finding our spark? So one thing I'd love to ask you is, with so many balls in the air, how day to day are you staying motivated and keeping your foot on the pedal?
It's such a good question. And I genuinely, like, don't know how to answer it. I don't know because I'm not a person that wakes up in the morning and journals. I've never been that girl. I bought 20 journals. I've never written a word. Like, I want to be the journal person. I want to be the jug girl that, like, drinks, you know, a gallon of water every hour. Like, I'm not that person, you know, but everyone's like, you must write out your day. Mm-hmm. You must wake up, meditate, do mm-hmm. this. Do this. I don't. I'm not that person, you know? So every day for me, it's not planned out like that. Like, I wake up and I do the best that I can every single day. Like, I'm not, like, regimented like that, which is weird because I am a Virgo and I love to plan things out, but we plan and God laughs. Like, I can have a whole photo shoot planned and my kid, you know, Talon school calls me, and it's happened many times when Ava was at my house working. We're like, okay, you gotta go. Like, I gotta pick up Talon. You know, you can't plan anything. You have to be able to pivot. Pivoting is very important.
Yeah. And being quick on your feet. But I think that's such a realistic answer.
Yeah.
It's like, you're not sitting here saying, I'm in the 5 a.m. club. I wake up every day before my kids. I'm like, it drives me crazy because my kids wake me up at 6 a.m. every day and it's not fun. They're my alarm clock.
No. And, like, honestly, I would love to be like that. I would love to be that 5 a.m. person, but I'm not. And that's okay. Like, mm-hmm. it's okay. You know? And also, mm-hmm. I love sleep. Like, I need sleep. I can't function without a good amount of sleep. Like, I know my body. I'm like, no, this is what I need. And I go to bed very early, between 9 and 10, and that's it. And I'm very happy. But, like, if anyone who does that, that's great for them. That's what they love. That's what fuels them. But that's not for me.
Totally.
You know?
How about the days where you're not fucking feeling it? You're in a slump. The kids have driven you up a wall. Where do you reach for? I think that's where I want to dig in and, like, really figure out, how are we doing this when we don't feel like it?
We're drinking a lot of wine. wine helps. I know what you mean. It is very hard. Like, there's no magic wand. There's no mm-hmm. recipe mm-hmm. for, you know, parents get frustrated and kids can push us to the limit. You know, every household is similar in that sense. But I also think it comes back to marriage and good partnership and just having someone that can support you and someone that is a hands-on figure as well, which I do have, which I feel very blessed to have in Aaron. So, like, I can lean on him a lot, but in the same breath, I come back to the B word. It's just boundaries. And also with your children, you know, though, if they're pushing you to the limit, like, guys, like, I love you, but, like, I don't raise my voice in my house. So it's like, talking to them, like, well, my baby's one, I say them, but Talon, who's six, you know, just tell, this is upsetting mommy and I would really love for you to help me. like you're upsetting me right now, you know? And he responds very well to that. Like, he wants to be the man of the house. And so I just think it's like healthy relationships with both children and partner.
Yeah. No, but you're right. Partnership's so important. And yeah. It's like, if you're down, then it's like pivoting and tossing something over to your partner. I think it's like, we do the best we can.
And then vice versa with us, you know, it's not just us with our husbands or spouses, you know, it's vice versa.
Totally. So. Totally. So we're nearing the end of our time together, but I have a few more questions. So Okay. Stay with me here. We are going to talk outfits and fashion really quickly. Okay. And then we're going to come back to a couple other ending questions for our conversation tonight. This has gone by so fast and it's been so fun. You are our resident fashionista tonight. So talk us through, and I love how strategic you are with your looks. Like, if you follow Lindsay, you know this, it's very specific. There's formulas. Talk to us about tonight's look and how we are putting this together.
Okay. So tonight's look, obviously all in cami. I picked the sequin sheer skirt because I just felt like it's around. We're pushing holiday time. I love that it's a versatile piece. It can really go like day into night. Daytime, you can wear like an oversized sweater, how you guys had it styled too. And I decided to kind of like go in a different direction and do the velvet jacket closed and worn as a top, which I don't think many people, I love taking a jacket and turning it into a top, especially as a suburban mom. Yes, like, give me the blazer, done. Give me a cardigan, fully buttons up. I don't know. Like, and I'm not this like prissy buttoned up style person, but when I dress like this, it feels like refined and polished and elegant in like an edgy way. And then I did, of course, like if something ever feels like too girly or I need to edge it up, like my style is like sexy, edgy, femme. Mm-hmm. So this felt like fancy. So I did the knee high boot that felt a little edgier. And then of course, like, I just love the textures of like sequin, beaded, velvet, like very holiday, like we're getting into holiday.
Yes. I want to talk a little bit quickly on styling trends for fall winter. And I feel like that skirt is it for me. I tried that skirt on as well. And I'm like this, I like this trend. Are we wearing sequins outside of holiday? Are we like mixing that in all year round? What is this looking like?
I love sequin. I mean, yes, you're preaching to the choir. I love sequin forever. Yeah. Like when I was away on vacation, I always incorporate sequin. It's so much fun. Mm-hmm. I mean, New Year's, people do sequin. I feel like we're also in this time period, like stylistically, where it's like if you see something on Instagram, everyone looks the same. I don't know if anyone else feels the same as me, but like it's almost like everyone's like wearing the same thing. I'm guilty of it too. I'm like, I only want black, white, and cream because I'm a mom and I can't think, you know? So I like change my wardrobe a little, but like it's like fashion doesn't feel as fun, you know? So like when I'm on vacations, I try to have more fun. So like I always love sequin, no matter what.
Yes.
Sequin is forever.
Okay, perfect. Any other fall winter trends that you are obsessed with right now?
I love like the oversized leather jacket thing, oversized sunglasses, which I've always done, but now it's a trend. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. To be honest, I don't always lean into trends. When I was a stylist or a personal shopper, I never really did that. I wear what I love, what makes me feel comfortable. Yeah. And honestly, I don't wear a lot of things that like are typically a trend that I just never felt like they were me.
Yeah.
So
fair.
I think just, again, be true to yourself and your style, no matter what's on Instagram. You know, I think inspiration and being inspired by people in the space is so important. I'm inspired by my peers every single day. And so many women help me get dressed that I don't even know online, you know. But it's important to make that your own.
Yes.
And don't just try to make something right because it's right for someone else and it works for someone else.
I love it. We are at our last question together. As a last question, what is it that lights a fire in you that keeps you moving?
Specifically speaking about social media, because I'd be lying if I said there were days that I have not wanted to do this job anymore. Like, it gets very taxing and very, very hard. So there are moments where I'm like, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing this anymore. But then I think of my community and and everything I built from the ground up. Like I said before, the women who follow me, they're incredible. Like, I can't abandon them. I just feel very attached to my community. And I devote a lot of time connecting with people via DM. We try to respond to everyone, at least as many people as we can. So I look at them as more than just a number. And that's how I always wanted to be looked at in the space. So I come back to community all the time.
Yeah. No, and I love that about you and your story. What's next? What's happening? Is there anything coming up for you that you want to shout out? Any projects? Anything that you're aspiring to do next that you would want to share?
Yeah, I feel like I'm on a podcast tour recently, and that's fun because it's just like coincidentally been like a back-to-back. I know, I love you. Thank you for having, this is such a special night. But I feel like I've been able to share my voice like back-to-back on so many different outlets that have asked so many different questions. Mm-hmm. So it's gotten people to know me on a whole different level.
Yeah.
And that's really important for me. Like using my voice is really important.
Yeah. I love seeing you on the mic. So let's do more of this. This is amazing. We're going to open it up, guys. We're going to do a quick Q&A. We're going to try to keep it to 5 questions if possible. And then we'll wrap it up and release you off into the ether. And let's hang out and shop and have a drink together. And cheers.
Yes.
So any questions for Lindsay?
If you don't be just, shy.
Don't be shy.
If you have any advice for your 23-year-old self, as a 23-year-old myself, mm-hmm. what would you give her?
Everything will end up working out for you in the time that it's supposed to. That's what I would have told myself. I met my husband later in life in terms of social standards. I had children later in life. I just had a 1-year-old and I just turned 40 last month. So just trust that the universe has your back and everything that is meant for you will always find you. And remember that and believe it. You're welcome.
I was going to say the COVID city girl to suburban mom pipeline is so real.
Oh,
and the change and the depression and just all of it, especially as a new mom.
Yeah.
What did you do to get your spark back?
I cried so much. Like I really, it's weird because I did, like I said, I had so many of these conversations with my friends. I think with time, just being in a new atmosphere, like I had to fuck up and accept. I think acceptance was a really big thing for me. Like even now I have trouble accepting that I am a suburban mom. It's very hard when you are a city mom, like everyone feels it, you know? So it's really self-acceptance and like stepping into that role, you know, having the self-awareness to be like, I accept it. And I will always be that person. I have the memories of who this person was, and I'm still that person deep down. It just looks a little different. Yeah. We're the same. I know it's hard. It's very hard. It's like, it makes me cry all over again. Honestly, it's very emotional. And like my husband was like, I don't know. You're great. Like, what, you know, like the men don't understand. Like, you don't get it. Okay. Like, but
the
again,
men don't get it.
No, they don't get it. Like they're wired differently. So I just feel it. And you're not alone. Like, thank you for saying that because I felt alone for so long and people were like, oh, it's so hard, you know? And that's why I love my community so much because like when I was crying online, when I had moved, women were coming in just like, oh my God, this is like so real. I feel this so hard. Thank you so much for sharing this with me. Like you made me cry, you know, or I cry in the bathroom every day. Like someone, you guys are so funny. Like I have the best community. You guys are all so fantastic. But thanks for saying that, because it's important for other people to hear that someone else in the room felt the same.
Thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
I'll ask. You said you worked for Cammy like 8 years ago. What did you do for Cammy? I need to know.
So I did me and my friend Marnie did like a campaign together.
Marnie is a throwback.
Right. Yes. Like, I love her. Right? Marnie, who's still my very, very dear friend. But then you guys hired me separately and I was like a model for one of your seasonal campaigns. And I was the girl in the lookbook. So I have those pictures. They're crazy, but they're so cute. And honestly, like, I love that girl, you know, again, it's like, we look at our journeys as women and we sometimes look back and like, oh my God, that was so embarrassing. So like, oh my God. But I love that girl. Like that girl worked so fucking hard and she like showed up every single day and like did crazy shit and she did cool stuff. You know, now I'm 41. I'm like, good job. Like 23-year-old, like you got wow, you know? So just like keep showing up for yourself. And like Cammy gave me the opportunity of a lifetime back then and to sit here right now to be doing this in your store. It's crazy.
Sam, this is a founder, Sam.
Yes,
can we just quick shout out because we're looking at each other. We're like, we had no idea.
Yeah,
so
it's just
full circle. Moment.
Yeah,
it's very cool. Yeah. Like life is awesome. That's very cool. You just have to keep going, hustle, keep going after your dreams, like, and be kind. Be a kind, decent, nice person. Do not kick someone to get ahead. You will see that person again. You're going to need that person. No, be a good person. I never treated people like shit in my industry, and I will never today. I worked very hard for my reputation, your name. Like, you have to protect your name. Your name is all you have. So, especially in this industry or any industry at all, it's very important.
Such good advice. I think that's a perfect place to end our convo. This was a blast. You're amazing. Thank you for being here tonight. This was so much fun.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this episode. If there's someone you think this conversation would resonate with, please share it with a friend. Tag us on Instagram at The Big Move Podcast and at mroberts.m. Subscribe, follow, and leave a review and connect with us. We love to hear from you, and we want to chat soon.